Welcome to the Jazz Mule School Podcast, episode 116.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. My name is Brendan Lowe. I am your host as always, and thank you so much for joining me on episode number 116. This is going to be six easy ways to improve your improv with rhythm. So this is going to be a real fun one. Before we dive into the episode, just a couple quick things. If you're new to Jazz Piano School, welcome, and please feel free to check out our website at jazzpianoschool.com. There's lots of free information, our blog, our podcast, obviously, which you're listening to right now. We have videos on the website of the lessons and the podcast, and lots of great transcriptions and free material as well. So feel free to check our services and free content out there. Now, I just did a podcast interview this morning, which was awesome. With a podcast, another musical kind of entrepreneur podcast company or business, I should say, called Musicality, the Musicality Podcast. So I will keep you guys updated on the interview about that, but it was just very fascinating because obviously you got to hear my story, you got to hear my approach on jazz piano and the structure and organization and direction that I want to provide to all of the Jazz Piano School students and members, and just my opinions and thoughts on jazz piano education, where it has been and where it has come to. And yeah, it was just a lot of fun because I got to speak, you know, about my approach, my philosophies. And I know in a couple of other podcast episodes, I've done this a lot. So you guys have probably heard it, but it, you know, I use some great analogies actually that a lot of you probably haven't heard in regarding the theory sequences within Jazz Piano School, the way that we move from theory to technique to improv to repertoire, and then how we learn jazz piano core tools in order to build the house, right? Rather than starting with the blueprint and not having any tools, which is where most of us start with, right? We open up the fake book, we try and play, we try and copy, we try and mimic, but we don't really have any tools. We're just kind of copying what others do. We don't know how to use our tools freely to play any tune we want. So we start with the blueprint, we learn one blueprint, then we learn another one. Those are the only two tunes we know how to play. That was my experience at least, and I'm sure a lot of you guys know that. So I'll keep you guys updated on the release of that podcast. It would be really awesome. And he has a lot of other, Christopher has a lot of great information. I'd highly recommend you check it out. It's not just jazz, obviously. It's all musical education. So a lot of ear stuff. It's classical, jazz, you know. It's just basically involving music education in as many different ways as possible. Improvisation, like I said, passive learning, listening, you know, so he kind of explores music in a wide variety of way, but also with structure. We share a lot of the same opinions and views on education and kind of innovating musical education these days and getting away from the traditional method of just kind of show and copy as well. So that's going to be really fun. So with that being said, I'm going to go into the episode right now, and we will get started with the six ways to improve your improv with rhythm. Here we go. So I hear jazz piano solos. Now, so many different solos can be improved with rhythm. For example, if I were to play a solo, right, and I just play, let's say, we'll take a blues, I guess, for example, and I do this. Something like that, something very simple. Now, if I do that again, right, basically all I was playing there was eighth notes and quarter notes, a couple rests, right? If I add in another element of rhythm, it's going to immediately uplift my solo. Check it out. Right now, what elements did you hear that I just added into my little, you know, improv lines there? What rhythms did you hear, right? I added in some triplets. I added in some 16th notes. And just the pure fact of adding those in already started to expand and bring balance to those two bars or three bars that I played immediately. So the first topic here is going to be adding rhythmic contrast to your solos. You need to have balance and contrast rhythmically in your improv in order to make it exciting and enticing. You know, forget the notes And I'm talking about just one note, right? If you, my old teacher, Eric Reed, he has an amazing solo on Pedro's Getaway. This is off the Wynton Marsalis Septet box set when they were live at the Village Vanguard. If you guys haven't heard this box set, you got to check it out. It's absolutely incredible. They did a week there. And so my old teacher, Eric Reed, who I did a podcast with, he plays at the beginning of Pedro's Getaway, he plays one note. I think they're playing an E flat. Yeah. So basically he starts off his solo like this. Something like that. But basically he's playing rhythmically. He's playing one note. And again, what I wanted to kind of impress on you guys right now is that you don't need a lot of notes. Having just one note rhythmically played well is fun, right? So you could play. So whatever it is, and I mean, we're going to get into what I was doing, but I wasn't playing a lot of notes. I was playing like four notes and I kind of moved away from the first one, but it's about the rhythm. So adding rhythmic contrast into your playing is an absolute must. Okay. So the majority of the time when I hear beginners play, they're soloing, let's say, Now, why does it sound beginnerish? Like I'm doing all the right things. I'm hitting chord tones like I preach and I teach, right? On the downbeats to start off with. First of all, there's no space. And second of all, I'm using all eighth notes. It's just one rhythm. Now, in speaking a language, right, which I relate my jazz education to a lot, it's like speaking in the same tone. You have no inflections. You have no pauses. You have no space. You have no subtleties, right? So when I do this with my voice, it's the same thing with music. Right, so you want to speed up, you want to slow down, right? You want to get softer, you want to get louder. So all these different types of textures in your playing really matter. So instead of just playing all eighth notes, if you find yourself doing that, practice playing all triplets, right? Go to a different key, right? Practice triplets throughout all of your keys. Or, you know, if you're not that advanced, just practice one key. Practice your 2-5-1s and C just using triplets. And it doesn't have to be at that speed, right? You can practice much slower, you know, and just practice root voicings if you want. And I would encourage you to land on your chord tones as you're switching. Right? And then so on and so forth. So that way you start to have triplets in your repertoire. Now, combining them with eighth notes is different, right? So I can play a solo and play eighth notes. That still sounds weird, right? So you don't want to play like that. So how do we infuse the rhythms? Well, that's where rests come into play. So we might have a couple of eighth notes, right? Rest, triple it into our eighth note, right? Triple it, eighth note, right? So basically, it's how you break up the phrases and segments. That's how you infuse them. You never want to do anything for like I never just want to have eighth notes. I never just want to have triplets. I never just want to have eighth notes like going into triplets with a consistent stream. It's all about balance and the change and contrast and textures that makes solos so great. All right, so I would do the same thing with 16th notes, right? You know, now depending upon your skill level, obviously you have to take this at a certain tempo that's good for you. 1E and a 2E and a 3E and a 4E and a. Now, if your reharm is good too, you can start to work these rhythmic exercises through your reharm abilities, right? If you have reharm abilities that you've worked through in the podcast, or if you're a member of Jazz Piano School, right, you can start to add the tritone, right? So you could add triple it, triple it, triple it, triple it. That's automatically going to give you a different type of sound. Now, again, going back to infusing the rhythms, once you've practiced them separately, go through all your rhythms. I'm not going to teach you about rhythms on this podcast. I'm really geared towards giving you mental philosophies and concepts you can and approaches you can start to infuse immediately. But if you need to work on certain rhythms, obviously, that's a more of a beginner type of just practice and focus, right? So you want to do your quarter note triplets, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4. You know, then again, practice different sort of rhythmic phrases that combine the two. So a lot of times in jazz, you hear this certain phrase that's eighth note rest and then an eighth note and then a triplet. So one and triple it two, right? And triple it two. You hear that all the time in jazz, right? Bo-do-ba-da-ba. So eighth note into a triplet, rest, da-da-da-da-da. So practice that combination. Another combination you might hear is triple it eighth note. So you have di-di-da-do-be-da, something like that. You know, however that may be. So practice infusing after you've isolated them and practice them so you get the feel of that. Practice infusing them together, and then it will start to come out naturally in your playing because you've practiced these small Lego building blocks of rhythmic elements. Okay, does that make sense? Once you've practiced the core tools in a Lego sort of fashion as a building block, then you start to use them freely in your sentence to speak, or also known as playing, right, and improvising, and that way it will come out. So that's number one. You need rhythmic contrast. Number two is going to be rhythmic ornaments. Now, when I was in college, and a huge breakthrough I had in my playing is that I was playing kind of the same things that I would hear, right? Lines, but I didn't have any like flourishes, right? I didn't have any ornaments. And there's these little things that people do that you're just like, why does it sound like that? Like there's these little things, okay? So I'm going to kind of teach you about some of these things. Now, a lot of these things are kind of like 16th note lead-ins or, right? So I might do that. So if I do that, let's say in back to our blues, right? So di-da-da-da, right? These little type of like, right? These little things or these slides, right? Di-da-da-da, 1, 2, 3, ba, right? So adding that triplet in. Right? Stuff like that. Those are types of ornaments. So there's a couple of different ornaments I want to talk about here. The first one is more of a trill in your eighth note pattern. So if I were just to play, I'm going to take a bebop scale, for example. If I were to play this bebop scale, right? Very common bebop scale, the F dominant 7 bebop scale. Now, instead of just moving down the bebop scale like this, right? I can play an ornament leading into the bebop scale. So that may be a number of different ornaments, but if we start with the triplet, da-da-da-da, right? Triplet to ba-da. So again, this is going to change where your bebop scale lines up, but it doesn't have to apply to this. It can be with anything. I could start out playing a line like, sorry, you know, like that. But for the bebop scale example, because I want my chord tones to land on the downbeats, I have to change my line slightly. So I play, right? So I'm skipping the passing note, okay? Hopefully that makes sense there. Because if I didn't skip that passing note, my downbeats would be on non-chord tone. So I skip my passing note, and then I can continue down anyway. I could start my line up here. Right? So just adding that one little triplet in the beginning immediately starts to make your line, like, spice it up, right? Now, as I continue down, right? What did I just do there? Sorry. What did I play at the beginning? Oh, yeah. I think I did that. I don't even remember what I just played. Yeah. So adding certain types of trills, right? That's a 16th note trill into your next note, right? Doing stuff like that. You hear these trumpet players, Clifford Brown, all these old trumpeters, Donald Byrd, they all have these flourishes around their bebop lines, right? So di-da-da, di-da-da, di-da-da-da. It's not just, they're not just playing di-da-da. That's just basic eighth note rhythm. To spice it up or flourish it, they're adding an ornament. Di-da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, they might add a triplet there. Something like that. So they're adding these ornaments in. That's, don't use that fingering there. I was trying to find a better fingering. That's probably better. So they're using all these different types of ornaments, right? And all, so these 16th note lead-ins, the eighth, the triplet trill in the middle of your line is really nice. Right. So you have the 16th note trill in your line, right, like that. Something like that. And then you have the eighth note trill as well. So adding the eighth note, adding the triplet and the 16th note rhythm into your lines is very, very classy. It gives a sense of elegance to it. Bud Powell is great at this. These older players adding these triplet note, these triplet figures into and fugues in their eighth note lines. Stuff like that. Like however you want to trill it. I'm trying to give you examples, but it's not working out the best. I'd have to play. So and then you hear how the difference is between the triplet. That's a very cool, like a slower type of ornament, and then the 16th note. You could do that as well. So there's so many different types of ornaments you should practice. These rhythmic ornaments really give, you know, Oscar does this one a lot, this approach. You know, however it might be. But these types of right? Though instead of just playing, that's a completely different experience then. Right? So you need to infuse these different types of rhythmic ornaments that are going to bring out your playing. Okay, so that's number two, rhythmic ornaments. Motifs. Now, I kind of started out with this in the beginning using the example of the Eric Reid solo. So basically staying with one motif. Now, what's a motif? It's basically a phrase that you take into development. Right, so you're using one phrase, you're developing that phrase throughout your solo instead of getting away from that. And you can create different rhythmic motifs. So he started out with this. You know, he's just taking that line. And then you start to tweak it, right? And you develop it and you can go other places with it, but you don't need a lot of notes. And it doesn't have to be fast. You can use these motifs anywhere, but you start to develop that motif. It is essential for storytelling in your improv. Otherwise, you're just blowing kind of mindlessly notes, which isn't really creating music. You're just, it's like regurgitating just lots of words, right? You want to tell a story. You want to give breaks, pauses, development into your story. That's really what kind of makes a build and a nice arch for your solo and takes the listener and yourself on a journey with you through your solo, right? So again, if I play that, I might listen to how the rhythmic motif might change because I can start to go on a different path or start to move in a different direction away from that, that motif into a new motif that then that becomes my new developmental story, okay? So I'll start out with the one I just played, and then I'll kind of morph into a different one, and then I can morph that one into a different one, and then I can morph that one into a different one. So you start building on your last motif, but then you move it into a different pattern story. It's very, very exciting. Much more said than me talking about it. Here we go. One, two, three, four. So there's my new motif. So it started out with da 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 da. Now I have da 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 da. So first it was da 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 da. Now it's da 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 da. So I just tweaked it a little bit, like a hair, right? So I have this now. have that. Right? So then it just builds and it carries you, right? Whereas, so obviously you could hear the different motifs changing. Now, whereas if I was just to play notes, listen to the difference in my soul. It's just lots of stuff. I almost said the S word. It's just lots of stuff, okay? I try and keep this podcast PG for everybody. So, I mean, whereas opposed to when you take your time, you're patient, and you develop some rhythmic content, it's like, oh, man. It's like it builds in your soul, right? It builds just like in the bottom. You know, and then it just carries you. It carries you. Literally, I could solo for 10 choruses. Just taking these motifs. Like, and again, it literally takes lots of patience because I hear so many people start a motif and then they get away. Then they start a new one, get away. It's like, no, don't drop your idea. Again, in if you always relate it back to a language, it makes total sense. It's like me talking about rhythm and saying, okay, well, I need to go to the store. So I went to the store. Oh, and then I went and got gas. And then I was going to get gas. Oh, and then I went to the gym. You know, I worked out. And then oh my God, I have some homework assignment. It's like, what is going on? You know, there's no cohesive flow to your solo. When you listen to these best guys, I was listening to, I think it's called Jig a Jug or Jug a Jig or something like that with Joshua Redmond and Peter Martin. Who has his website too with all these great, fantastic players teaching and things like that. But Joshua Redmond, just starting out on his solo, it's like he just is so patient with his lines, just playing rhythmic concepts and motifs. And then finally he starts to break out and it's like a release. So, man, those motifs, I'm telling you, it's the key to unlocking development in your improv. Okay, I guarantee if you can nail down your rhythmic motifs and your melodic motifs, and as you can see here, I'm not talking about melodic in this episode, but moving away, different, creating different movements melodically, right? So obviously I have a melodic motif going up, then I can change that, I can reverse it, come back down. Okay, I'm not even talking about rhythm there, but you see what I'm saying. So we have contrast, rhythmic contrast. You need to practice that and infuse that. We have rhythmic ornaments. Okay, that's more of a bebop-ish style, right? Adding rhythmic ornaments into your eighth note lines is really going to spice up your playing. Oscar Peterson is a fantastic person to listen because he has so many different types of rhythmic things going on. These, you know, all these different type of rhythms. You know, he's flying and he's adding all these triplets, 16th note trills, these runs, these long, like, you know, these long up and down runs. It's playing like a drummer. Like he's playing like a drummer. I got off a little bit there. Rhythmic ornaments, motifs. I just went over. Now, number four, we got three more. Space is rhythm. Okay, you need to understand that. The space and rest you put in is still rhythm. So if you're playing lots of eighth notes, you don't have rhythmic contrast, right? Think about space just as much as you would think about actual playing because they both fit into the same picture, right? Leaving a space is intentional and creates rhythm. It creates the rhythm of space, Okay, I think a lot of people miss that, right? So if I were to play, so I'm leaving eighth note, you know, or excuse me, space there, whatever it may be. I think I wasn't sure. I was like quarter note rest, upbeats, right? I'm playing all upbeats. Right, so you want to think about the space just as much. It's the negative side of the playing, right? It's the space in the middle. Okay, it's just like the opposite. Okay, you really want to practice that. So practice leaving certain amounts of space. And in jazz piano school, a lot of the exercises on rhythm, we have a lot of exercises on purposely leaving space. So you'll play for a measure, maybe it's over 2-5-1, then leave a measure blank. So I might play space 2-2-3-4 play. Space. Space, right? I don't really know why I'm playing shy, but space. All right, so you get the idea. And then you take that and you can make it longer. You can have 2 bars of space, 3 bars. You can have space in like half notes. All right, so I might play for 2 beats. Sorry. You know, so however you may do it, and then maybe you just think, maybe you're not thinking rhythmically anymore. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to play at the beginning of the bar, or I'm going to play at the end of the bar, right? So you're leaving space in the beginning or at the end. You don't even have to think about rhythmic content. So you could think to yourself, I'm not going to play in the beginning of the bar. Right, so you're just focusing on your kind of lead ins to the next chord. That's also rhythmic content. That's also space, right? So that's very, very important. Along with space kind of tied into that is duration, right? So if you have a short note versus a long note, that's still rhythm. So I love these things that Brad does, Brad Meldo, and a lot of these, you know, kind of modern players where they're very textural, atmosphere, Keith, right? And he's just kind of sitting on this octave, and I'll play it like a couple times. So it'll be like, it's hard to do it with just the piano, solo piano, because you have the drummer and the bass, and their filling drum starts filling and starts billing. But all Brad is doing, he's just doing, if you can picture a drum, ting, 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 ting. So he's kind of floating over top with these durational type of holds, you know, that is also rhythm, right? So think about your holds. Think about the duration of the rhythmic content that you're playing. So if I hit a note, that's going to sound completely different than if I was doing this. It gives them a more swinging vibe. If I'm holding the note for a long time, it's going to give it more of a kind of a spacey open feel. Right, you see the difference there? And again, it's such a great thing. Sorry guys, I'm losing my voice. I spoke for a long time on that interview this morning. But so space is rhythm, okay? And then the duration of holds. Now, number 5, this is a really cool thing. Time has feelings and not feelings. So what do I mean by that? So you can feel a certain tempo in a lot of different ways, right? So if I take a tempo, 1, two, three, four. I can feel that in quarter notes. One, two, so I can feel more of an Errol Garner style. I can feel it in halftime. Right, so I'm feeling half note, half note, half note, half note, instead of the, and then, sorry, I was thinking to myself. So again, you have this tempo, and you can feel it in a lot of different ways. You can feel it in more of an open style, so just hold notes, right? I can just feel one. So I'm just feeling ones, one, 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 right? Same with grooves, right? Different grooves you can feel in different ways. So, excuse me, if you have, let me see, what was the play? If you have like a Latin piece, for example, if I feel this in a double time, I could feel. So here's your Latin example. Right, so da, 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 da. Right, but at the same time, I can feel that in more of a double time feel. So instead of this, I can feel da 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 da. Right, so da, 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 da. I can feel a subdivision, right, of the rhythm. So same with ballads. When you're playing a ballad, I hear so many people start to improvise in all eighth notes, which is very, very slow. Now, you don't have to feel a ballad just like one, two, right? One, two. Right? So yeah, I can feel this in quarter notes, or I can feel the subdivision rather in the eighth notes. So most people, my people might play this. Right? Now it's like, how do we solo over a ballad without making it sound boring? Well, that's where we need to feel the time differently. So I might feel 16th notes. I don't even know what I was playing there, but I was thinking about my 16th notes. But you see the difference, right? Right? Double triplets, right? Da 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 da. 1 2 3. 1 2 3. 1 2 3. 16th note triplets is at an 8th note triplets. So by adding in feeling the time differently, you're not just going to feel one time. Every tempo can be felt many, many different ways. And that's a great thing when you hear these great trios. A lot of these kind of, some of the modern trios, Aaron Goldberg trio, they're shifting the time into so many different time signatures. Like any one tempo can be so many different grooves. It can be so many different feelings. Can shift into so many different types of atmospheres. So you want to try and feel your time. Start to try and feel the time in different meters, right? Double it. Feel a double feeling, a double time feeling. Feel a triplet feeling. So for this, I can feel triplet, triplet, triplet. I can feel 1e-enda, 2e-enda, 3e-enda. I can feel da 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 da. I can feel anything based off of one pulse, right? And that's where you want to get to. I can feel half note, da. Sorry, this is kind of hard. Da, da, da. I can feel whole notes, da, right? I can feel whatever you want. So that's where you have to kind of practice playing a tune, but put soloing in the different tempos, okay? In the different time signatures. Now, number six, the final one, is openness, is like an open time feeling. So just like we can feel time in a rigid format of grooves, tempos, and meters, We can also not feel time. Okay. So I want to give you both sides of the equation. One of my teachers, great teacher, had me do this exercise where he's clapping rhythm, right? So I'll clap out whole notes for 1, 2, 3, and he says clap on 1. So I clapped on 1, 1, and he's still clapping whole notes, right? Here's my whole note. So he says clap on 1. So I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Now what he does is he starts playing whole notes. So he's going to play, you know, he starts playing half notes. So I go 1. Right? So he says clap on 1 now. So I go, okay. So 1, there's 3, here's 1, 1. Then he says, okay, I'm going to start playing whole notes. I want you to clap on 1. Right? And so I'm like, okay. So he goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. And he's like, okay. So obviously when you start to do that, in your head, we start counting to ourselves immediately. Right? We start counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. But then he says to me, suggest, which is amazing. I mean, this completely changed my perspective of time in an openness feeling. He goes, I don't want you to count anymore. I just want you to feel it. Just feel the space, right, between the whole note. So don't subdivide into quarter notes. Don't subdivide into half notes. Don't subdivide into triplets. Don't subdivide at all, right? Just feel the energy and the space of the openness between the whole note. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, wow, this is kind of crazy. So try it with me now. So if I just play a whole note, just feel the space without kind of subdividing. Don't tap your foot. Don't clap your hand. Just be comfortable. It's going to feel uncomfortable. Be comfortable with the space. Ready? Here we go. So I'm not counting in my head. I'm just trying to talk and speak and keep the whole note going. And it's difficult because I can try and keep this conversation going while internally feeling where the whole note is as I'm talking to you at the same time. So I'm not trying to subdivide the rhythm and the pattern of my voice is completely different than the whole note that I'm continuously playing. But at the same time, my internal feeling of the whole note is just feeling the pulse of that whole note without subdividing into the tempo. Do you guys see that? So when you do this, tempo almost becomes non-existent. You can play in the space. Now, it's very hard to demonstrate this unless I'm with a group, but you can play in the space without feeling subdivision. So, again, it's helpful in different ways. Obviously, you need to come to access some structure of time, but the purpose of this is to not feel subdivision because it's going to absolutely change the way you approach your solo, right? When you're not feeling, if you're feeling a pulse all the time, then you're going to play with that full pulse. You're going to play to that pulse. But when you create an open atmosphere where there is no time, you're just feeling the time as a space rather than a subdivision. That's going to absolutely open up your opportunities, doors, possibilities for the way you start to approach your soloing techniques. And again, one of these things, if you guys are watching on the camera, on the video, if in the podcast, you can't see this, but is he had me just kind of circle my hand like a wave. So on the one, so he'd play 1 and then I'd circle my hand, come back around and hit my hand again. 2, 3, 4. So instead of thinking in rivets, which jogs the, like, you know, it's like 1, 2, 3, right? They're like hiccups, like a heart rate monitor, you know? Instead of thinking in a heart rate monitor, you just think of it as a wheel, like a circle. So a circle of time. Whoops, I just hit the mic. 2, 3. And so the time and space in the circle is nothing until you get back to the 1, right? And you can do this for different types of beats. You don't have to do it on whole notes. Let's say we take 2 bars. We take two whole notes tied together. So it'd be 1, 1, right? So I took 8 beats. I was trying internally. It's going to take everything you have to not feel the pulse, right? So if I just play 1, now I'm waiting. So I'm feeling 2 bars while I'm talking to you. And I'm just feeling it. Like I can talk. And internally, my feeling is telling me where that space should go, right? So I think I was pretty close there. If someone wants to put a metronome onto that, see if I lined up. But anyway, again, the purpose of that is to feel the openness instead of subdividing all the time, because it's going to bring you into a new atmosphere of solo. So many people start out one and two playing bebop lines and things like that. But to really break into the exploratory feelings and the sensations and moods you get out of hearing Keith or Brad play and Gerald Clayton, some of these more modern guys, like, the time is not, it is circling. I picture it as like a wind tunnel. It's like moving. It's always changing. It's a push and pull between the rhythm section, between themselves. It's morphing at all times. It's never just a box. It's never boxed in. It's a completely open and like, it's like an orb, you know, that's just like pulsating. It can move and shift in a lot of different ways. And that's how you kind of want to get to. It's a very, very advanced place to get to. But you should definitely have it in your mind as you're approaching your rhythm and your improv while you're, you know, attempting to solo and practice soloing with that kind of feeling. Right? So put a click on for like, so it just clicks on one every like 8 beats. So it'd be like one, right? And then you have your pulse 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 1. But the click is only on one. So you're soloing in the middle while listening just to that one beat. And you're trying to solo in the space and then line back up with that beat. All right. So there's no practice exercises for this podcast. But again, check out the other podcasts. We have a lot of practice materials. Excuse me, guys. Man. And I hope that helps. I got to get some water here. Hope that helps, guys. Just go back through the different components. Again, just to wrap up, we get contrasting rhythm. We have rhythmic ornaments, number two. We got motifs. We got space is rhythm. So remember that just intentionally adding space is a rhythmic purpose, okay? We have feeling of different times based off of one time. So one time can be many different feelings in times at the same time. And then we have not feeling time, which is the openness, right, that we just talked about. So thank you guys so much for listening. Hope that helps practice all these different types of rhythmic ideas and implementing them into your improv, and I guarantee you will start to see immediate results very, very fast in your improvisation. All right, as always, have a wonderful day. Until I talk to you next time, happy practicing.